Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line of 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710Sports.com, and of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com, with blogs, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Good morning, Joey Pyburn, and welcome back to the studio.
Finally back.
I don't have to answer any more of those texts on 710-710 powered by Yamaha Outboards. Where's Joey?
Yeah.
Where's Joey?
Well, Joey was at home sick with COVID for about 14 days. My wife and I, Callie, did the responsible thing and hunkered down. It was very hard to do because you were out there crushing it at mid-channel every day. And I was at home watching and getting texts from all my friends and a bunch of our listeners, and everybody was wondering, where are you at? And I just kind of dropped off the map for a little bit.
You just had to. I remember getting the call from you saying, dude, you're not going to believe this. And I'm like, what? Because you and I look forward to that, you know, our
area. Are you nine, kidding?
We've been fishing. Now this will be our fourth season in a row, you know. Just, you know, working on it together. And the boat fish is so much better when you're on it. And it was brutal. I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to Bob Buchanan for stepping in for a couple weeks. Such a great guy. Wonderful, fun guy to fish with. He came with us on Wednesday, and we had a spectacular day out there on Wednesday.
And Bob did a great
– He did.
You know, great job filling in on the show. I was at home just kind of, you know, laying around. So – listen to the show, and it was fun to listen to you guys. It hurt.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
it was no fun, but here's the thing, you know, this is breaking news. Joey is younger and in better shape than I am. And so when I saw what it did to you, and then I heard the Canadian deal where you can't go to Canada unless you get a shot. I mean, I'm going to Peregrine Lodge in August. So I had no choice. I went and got, you know, poke number one, you know, after I saw, you know, how far that took you down. But, you know, and here's the deal. The Canadian border opens up on August 9th. Okay. At 12:01 AM. Bam. So, Georgia Huseby of Peregrine Lodge is going to jump on board welcoming anglers back across the border. I mean, how long have we been waiting for that? So, And here's the deal. It's no secret we have a lot of truncated, you know, salmon seasons right now, halibut seasons as well, and just Canada just gives you a lot of opportunity to sneak across the border with your boat and just enjoy so much of what's going on across there over the border. So, you know, it's not just destinations, but guys with their own boats. I mean,
oh man,
you know,
I mean,
and so many people from this neck of the woods, you know, tow their boat, go to Vancouver Island and fish Bamfield and Nootka, Esperanza.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Seymour
amazing
Narrows,
opportunities.
Pass.
Out there.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
And look, we're hearing about, you know, this COVID and whatever, and they want people to get vaccinated. Well, listen, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Open up Canada, guys.
Yeah,
will get stuck
that's
in the arm
true.
Real quick yeah. to be able to go up there and catch some,
yeah,
catch
and,
some salmon and some halibut. So. Enough of that talk.
It is.
Listen,
and I don't like the way it's getting jammed down everybody's throat. I can't stand it. But,
yeah.
you know, we're not going to talk about it because that's not why people are tuning in. So.
Got back on the boat on Sunday.
Yes.
That was
your first day fishing in July was on Sunday.
No.
First day fishing Area 9. Sorry.
First day fishing Area 9. Yeah. And, you know, hadn't been on the boat for, I don't know, other than when it's closed.
Right.
In July, not on the boat for 14 days.
That's crazy. Okay? Nuts.
So back on the boat, you know, get my sea legs back under me. Didn't, you know, just out of the loop, right? It's amazing how fast it happens. What's going on? What are these fish biting?
Right.
What are we doing out here? But we had a great day Sunday. We had my cousin Isaac Dozier out on the boat with us. He was
Good
working
kid.
For me. Good kid. He caught his first Chinook. We got our fish, man. And we had just a great day. You got a great fish on a Puget Pounder. That was super cool.
That was so much fun. That BOMAC jig, dude, is absolutely it's amazing. But just to stick one, I mean, we were marking so many fish underneath the boat that it's like, okay, here they are. Bam, let's get one down. And so we made first drop, couldn't get one to go, reeled it back up, moved the boat a little bit. You actually shifted the boat in reverse. There they are again, wham, and I just got railed. So that sliding jig does not give those fish the opportunity to shake the jig at the boat. They lose all leverage on it. And so, you know, you just tie like a mini mooching leader on the bottom of that jig, a couple BOMAC glow beads, mm-hmm. and get them on the boat. And then inside that tie tote, they go, baby.
Yeah.
That is so ice. So here's the deal. The BOMAC has come up with this killer fish bag. It is absolutely, you know, the ones that were out previously were porous, okay, mm-hmm. and they'd hold a scent. These are waterproof. They're watertight. They will clean up 100%, and they have a waterproof zipper. So
You're going to get a longer life out of them.
They're going to cost more. They're going to cost a bit more. But
look, you're either going to buy twice as many or you're going to buy one.
There you go.
The ability to clean that thing out, because, look, we've had some skunky.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
You know, yeah.
So if you ever come fishing with us and we give you a kill bag, here, take this. Okay, that's we want you to keep it and not bring it back on the boat.
You may want to get about 40 gallons of bleach through that thing.
It is the gift that keeps on giving in no small terms. So yeah.
But then back on the boat on Monday, feeling a little sharper.
There you
go. We had Jeff Lalonde from Bayside on board and Brandon Robichaux, and we put the wood to it.
That was Kill Team Alpha.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was.
And
that
was, we ended up with the biggest fish of the season on your boat, right?
100%.
So far.
Yeah, biggest fish.
Probably
of Puget
pushed
Sound.
26-ish.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we did get a 28 up in Sitka.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest. That was the biggest
Puget
one.
Sound fish.
Yeah, and so we tested the Berkeley scale on which we weighed it at an honest 25. And we hung an 18-pound downrigger ball. You did it yesterday morning and showed it to me. It was like just over 17 pounds.
Yeah.
So that thing was, you know, that was all of a quarter pounder, dude.
I think that fish might have been 27.
Dude.
I got to hold on to it a long time because the hook was buried so deep in its face. But that was a rodeo, man. We had a double to end the day.
Yeah.
And we already had, we had three fish in the boat. We needed one more.
Right.
Boom, double. My rod goes off. As soon as Jeff starts to bring up your side of the boat, it gets ripped off. You immediately scream, biggest fish wins, and goes in the box. And I'm fighting my fish on my side of the boat, and I look out in front of me, and there's a 25-pound Chinook swimming by with a flasher on it.
Not just swimming by.
Racing by.
Have you seen the World War II movies where the torpedoes are heading for the destroyer, right?
Yeah, and that there's was just this a flasher whipping around behind it. And Jeff has his rod under the boat on his side of the boat. The fish swims all the way around back to your side of the boat. I saw it, so I knew my fish wasn't as big. I just cranked my drag down and reel a 9-pounder. I skipped it the last 20 yards across the surface into the net, but it got hung. The hooks got hung up in the net. Salty Brandon bites the line, clears my rod. Jeff fights the fish all the way around to my side of the boat again. Boom.
Brandon
net
scoops
that fish
with a 9-pounder already in the net. Scoop the 26.
We pick my 9-pounder up, give it a kiss, back in the drink. Hugs for everybody, 26-pounder dead on the deck.
Yeah, so,
awesome.
Yeah.
And that was my second day back. Yeah. I went home and immediately passed out. Like the adrenaline dump, the lack of energy I had. But I'm feeling fine now. And I fished 4 days this week with you. I never felt like I got enough. Any one of the days, I was thinking, could I just, maybe Nelly would just, you had a timeline. You had to get some folks back.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could just jump on somebody else's boat.
You could. Just
because I could do this all day.
No doubt, dude. Yeah. So Area 9, okay. So when those tides began to soften, so we had the full moon early this week. Big moon, big tides. So when that moon started to wane, so did the tides, obviously. And so we had a pretty phenomenal window early in the week. The participation in Area 9 had dropped off. Mm-hmm. So there was a bunch of guys really excited about the fishery in the middle of July when it opened, obviously, and we ground through. And early this week, they came out with a number of 61% passed on the quota. But it really slowed down on Thursday and Friday. I mean, we saw very few fish caught yesterday. And we did not get an update, but I think when we come into the conference call on Tuesday, I think there's a chance we're going to fish through next week on Area 9. I at this point, I don't know about next weekend, but I wouldn't wait. But here's the deal. We sit here. We got every single minute out of July we possibly could, you know, and here we are. It's July 31st. Yeah. Tomorrow's August.
I know.
But August is, you know, a wonderful time of year, too, and we're definitely looking forward to it. But make a long story short, we've got a wonderful August, and with August 1st, the San Juans open up on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. How about that, guys?
Yeah, no doubt.
Go fish Area 7.
Go fish Area 7 tomorrow. Go fish Area 8-1, which is your beloved Deception Pass,
yes.
Skagit Bay.
Yep.
And we're going to cover that a little bit later in the show, too. So, you know.
Now, not open for Chinook.
Not
open for Pinks and Coho.
Not open for Chinook. Yeah.
It's an opportunity to get out and fish,
yeah.
You know, Area 7, which I
yep.
know a lot of those guys up in the North End have been just,
there we go.
You know, bumming, but. They're going to get a go fish.
They are. 866-979-3776. Locally, 206-421-3776. That's Reverse Shine Hotline, brought to you by Wellcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. And we got Richard from Kenmore on line one. Good morning, Richard. Long time no hear, man.
Morning, Richard.
Yeah, I finally got your phones back on. It's nice to see. Oh, I got a fish on. Gotta go.
All right.
He's help gonna, it.
Radio fish. That's awesome.
And,
okay.
Oh, you don't
that's
go,
perfect.
Though.
No, that's perfect.
Stick? Okay.
No, that happened a lot. In fact, I was talking to Georgia Huseby of Peregrine Lodge, and she I had to drop the phone on her too.
Yeah,
so
you
all
didn't
right.
drop your phone. I saw you wing it. I thought you tried to throw it towards
the boat. I could have. So all right. Well, we're gonna pop out of here for a quick break. On the other side of this, we got Robbo. So here's the drill. Robbo's joining us next. Eric Lindy's gonna jump in for a buoy 10 update. And then our beloved Georgia Huseby welcoming us to Canada up to Peregrine Lodge in an hour or two. Stay tuned. We got a jam-packed show for you right here on the Outdoor Line. 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line. Tom Nelson here with Joey Piper and Matt Nelson behind the glass and on the phone, Captain Krusty, who's down to single-digit groups in his three-month-long exile, his 100-day exile in Salmon Land. Good morning, Rob Ensley.
Morning, Robbo.
Morning, guys. Good to hear Joe's back in studio there.
He is. He's in full voice.
And again,
thanks to Bob Buchanan for stepping in so ably and helping us out. And the only thing you're missing up there is the new Tai'i tote cooler. For your catch, Robbo. These fish bags.
Oh, I don't know. I might need about 20 of them right now. We're loading up pretty good right now. It's a radar overlay kind of day here this morning. It's been really foggy here the last few days. So, I mean, we fished in pea soup fog till about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday before it cleared off. So, got the radar fired up and got that going, and we're ready to go. Yeah, hooks are baited. I just went and picked all the guts out of 12 dozen herring. Because the bites, when it starts hitting the fan out there, it like happens fast. So I get the herring are all ready to go. They're de-gutted, and they can go right on the hooks, and down they go. So
the coho fishing's pretty lights out, huh?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the right pace. Like, okay. We're not loading up in 45 minutes where, like, you light your hair on fire, and it's just complete chaos. It's just this perfect pace, like 1, 2, 3 at a time. You know, and kind of spread it out over a couple hours, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever it is. But, no, it's good, though. It's good. Some nice kings and halibut. Ocean's been good, which is why we got fog, of course. But life is good, man. Life is good here, for sure.
Nice. You know what tomorrow is, right? Tomorrow is
tomorrow's hunting Sunday.
Season. Hunting season, Rob. Hunting season is here.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you're going bear hunting, I hear.
Well, I was going to go bear hunting, but these dirty Chinook have got in my head, and I have to go out there and murder some more.
It's pretty good, Robbo.
Yeah.
It's pretty
it's hard
good
to
down
leave
here.
The
it's
water
not,
right now.
You know, it's off the torrid pace of 2 weeks ago, obviously, but there's more fish coming. There's more Chinook coming. Marine Area 10 really started hitting strong yesterday, and there's good size to some of these, too. You know, guys that are.
What's the secret weapon? What's the secret weapon? What are you dragging around for those things?
That Kingfisher 3.0 cookies and cream has been the star.
Spoon of the year honors.
Yeah, it definitely.
But there's so many shrimp in these guts. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, switching over to some hoochies and other stuff, but You know, and here's the deal. We get them on jigs, but we've hooked very few on herring, and partially, you know, we haven't been running
back
a lot.
Up to the shrimp. Get back up. Hold that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right there. What, tell me about these shrimp. So they're full of shrimp?
Yeah. They're
are they full
of? So you know yourself, and the first time I really observed this and was aware of it is catching Chinook off Cape Edgecombe in Sitka, where they're feeding on krill to the point where after you bleed them and they're in the fish box, that oil is running out the vent.
Yeah,
I had not seen that.
Changed your colors at all?
Yes, we have.
Are you running some pinks?
We're running some pinkish and red. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I know some guys in the South Sound. There's certain times of the year when the fish will come in down there and they feed on shrimp on the bottom. They feed on coonies and stuff on the bottom. And they'll run some pinks and oranges and whatnot. And the goofiest stuff here, you're like, there is no way a king salmon is going to eat that. And I'll be damned if they don't eat it. And I know Kingfisher makes a few spoons that just have, it doesn't even matter if it's something you've heard of. As long as it's got a red stripe or maybe a pink eye, just a little bit of a color offset on it, it can really make a difference.
So I kind of pay attention to, so just to back up, on Sunday, I actually, we caught a couple Chinook, and you can see it if you go to the Outdoor Lines Instagram feed, you're going to see me holding the Chinook that has krill oil running out his backside.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I ever really noticed that here. I mean, I've noticed it for the first time in Sitka years and years ago, but it's the first time I've seen it here in Puget Sound to that degree. So then we're watching other people's gear as they come up when they catch fish. And I started noticing, particularly at Mid Channel Bank, guys' flashers that were catching fish had either a pinkish or some kind of maybe even a red stripe on the flasher, orange, something like that. But yeah, that krill or keratin coloration, and even in your flasher, it helps because it brings them over. But running a little bit of color, that color on the spoon is definitely the ticket. But now, Robbo, we're coming to the end of our window here with regard to Chinook here in Puget Sound. We're transitioning to targeting pinks and eventually targeting coho. So if we want to start mooching for coho, what are some of the things that you do, you know, in up north to be successful on a vertical presentation for silvers?
You know, we generally switch our leads out to chartreuse leads. I mean, yesterday we were reeling in cohos, and there was, you know, there'd be other cohos trying to eat the lead as you're coming in, and it was almost always that chartreuse lead. I'm running 5 ounces now. I'm going to drop to 4s pretty quick. And the sound, you know, you can get away with 3s. I know guys that fish 2s down there. You just got to keep that line angle on. And in the sound, you're looking for those rips, you know, off those big points. And you're not going to fish right on the point. You're going to fish out a ways.
Yep.
You know, on the shipping lanes. Looking for those rips, looking for those weed lines, and fishing midwater. You know, you can kind of motor mooch them, or you can do it like we do. You can drop it down to 120 and reel it up and work the water column. You know, a couple things to do there, but main thing is just don't set the hook the second a fish hits your bait. You know, just keep reeling. Reel them right on. You know, and half the time, if you run a little bit tighter drag, you don't even need to set the hook.
And what,
just give them a gentle tug, but, you know, we're men. We're born to set the hook.
Yeah.
We're genetically programmed to do that.
And what you're talking about is reel until that rod loads up and that fish is actually on.
Reel the until you feel.
Yeah.
And then reel some more.
Yeah.
When you think it's time. It's
reel. We say that a lot.
We did.
But that's the key. A little bit smaller hooks, smaller baits, you know, oranges and reds. You know, some smaller hooks down there would be fine. You got to watch out for the dogfish, though, in the sounds. You better come armed with a whole bunch of leaders.
And
don't go
bait.
Out with 2-3 leaders. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get eaten alive, so you got to kind of keep that in mind from the dogfish. But, yeah, just go with a good roll of leaders, you know. And it's totally doable. Absolutely doable. Justin Wong and Keith Robbins and all those guys have been doing it for years, you know. So it works just fine. And look at CQ in Port Angeles. I mean, there's a lot of people that mooch up there.
Yep.
And it works just fine. And it can work down around the corner, too, down in the Sound. So.
Well, every place you go, mooching works. I mean, we saw people getting fish yesterday mooching. They outfished us yesterday, the moochers.
Yeah, 100%. So, it's just something you got to commit to. And then also, we saw an absolute Greek tragedy of a beautiful big fish, a moocher hooked on, and then somebody wasn't being aware with their downrigger wire, and this mooched fish got on a wire and just lost it. And we had Mark Uwasa on the boat yesterday, too. And he watched it and goes, oh, that was hard to watch.
I took a page out of your book, Robbo. So my first day back on the boat after a 2 week couch
hiatus
was last Sunday, and obviously I'm coming back. I'm not going to fish spoons. I fish bait.
Right.
And so I brought a package of yellows and a package of anchovies, and right out of the gate I ran the anchovies. I was putting it in front of fish and not getting bit. Switched to the yellows, and then I kind of it was kind of like Nelly'd get one, I'd get one. Nelly'd get one, I'd get one. So the yellow herring in a head, in that anchovy special head, it worked, and I think that day probably got the biggest fish.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, that's definitely a winner. And some of the commercial trollers up here are running those hooks now too, especially on these inside fish where they're a little funky. They get in, they get a little bit stale. They're starting to run some really small herring behind flashers, and you know, once those guys are starting to run that stuff, that it works for sure.
Man. So yeah. There's a lot to be learned from those commercial trollers, man. The guys that do it for a living, they get some stuff figured out. But it's just it's that attention to detail and the willingness to try different things. You've got these trollers running so much gear that there's definitely. I mean, they have their hoochie colors down to the time of day. You know,
Not just
time of year, absolutely time of day. So
So
it's all right. Give us a Captain Crustification reading here. You're two thirds of the way through your season. Mm-hmm. How you holding up, man?
Oh, we're doing good, man. Yeah, we got a really nice spell of weather here. We've had flat seas for, gosh, I don't know, 6-7 days now. Just flat as a pancake out there, so that's helped. But no, we're doing good, man. We're doing good. We're happy to see some cohos and. A lot of fun people showing up. So over here is doing good.
Love it.
Crew is doing good.
All right, man.
Yep.
Well, can't wait for you to be back down here, buddy, so we can go try to run down an elk.
We can commiserate.
There we go.
I'm looking forward to getting in the woods. I'm on my feet on dry ground here.
I bet you do.
I'm dreaming of the day. So.
I'll bet you do.
Awesome.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys.
Later, Robbo.
Talk to you soon. 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. That is the Reverse Chon Hotline brought to a Wellcraft Duckworth Northwest boat. Richard from Kenmore, who was so rudely interrupted by a Chinook. How big was it? Come on, man. Let us know.
Well, that was the second one, so I'm finished for the morning book. One about 10, one about 13.
Got to like that.
Very nice.
Where now are you? Where are you, Apple Tree Cove? Are you in somewhere in Area 10? Where are we at, Richard?
I'm in a good spot in Area 10.
There we go.
A good spot in Area 10.
So that's very cool, because while we were watching the quota getting ground into, it's probably around 70% in Area 9 right now, Area 10 was languishing in single digits. So it's so wonderful to see a lot of these fish now transitioning in as we end July into Area 10. You know, and Joey and I ran, you know, way to the north end of 9 yesterday and struggled a little bit. But only to hear that Area 10 absolutely lit off. So Area 10's picked up significantly, Richard.
Yeah, I keep my eye on those Lake Washington fish counts. In the last 3 days, we had quite a bump in fish, so that kind of explains that. But
what are you running for gear, Richard?
This bait size out here is pretty much increased, so you know what? I'm going to give it up. 4-inch spoons.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. That's what I've been running the past couple days is the 4-inch cookies and cream.
Yeah, do you guys cut off that split ring, or not the split ring, but the solid ring, add a split ring swivel?
That's a great question, and yes.
So you can't give the fish any leverage, right?
Right. So what Richard is referring to is you know, Kelly Morrison does a wonderful job at Silverhorn making these spoons. But stock out of the box, they come with a welded ring, and then an open eye sidewash hook is crimped on that ring. We're cutting that welded ring off, putting an appropriate size split ring on there, putting a silver swivel on that. That's all, not that big, and then
be the appropriate size.
Appropriate size swivel. You don't want to put a big, five. Yeah. You know, like a three, like a number three swivel on the back of it, and then crimping our open eye sidewash to that swivel.
And the other thing we're doing is we're upsizing that hook.
We are.
From probably a 3-aught.
4-aught. I have not put anything smaller than a 4-aught.
But, I mean, they probably come with a 3-aught. I'm going as big as a 6-aught.
Yeah, I hear you. So the reason for doing this, and as Richard so aptly points out, is the fact that it gives the fish less leverage and frees up that hook to turn and hook the fish more deeply because it's on that swivel. Think about it. That whole spoon has to turn on that ring for that hook to turn. Not so with that swivel. And so now we're landing a higher percentage of the fish we hook on those spoons and not going to a second hook. I've seen some guys trying to use a trailer hook on a spoon, which kills the action of the spoon.
Now the other thing it does is it sets that hook back a little bit further, and I'm seeing us get a deeper hook set.
100%.
Right in the side of the mouth, solid.
And when those critters are grinding coho killers, which are a tremendously effective piece of gear, that swivel arrangement with a split ring saves the coho killer. I got 3 or 4 coho killers that have the paint ground off them, you know, this season because I was running them without that split ring and swivel, and it just destroys the spoon.
Yeah.
They get to the point, the metal fatigue. I mean, seriously, I've got a couple coho killers that look like wadded up pieces of tinfoil by the end of a good Chinook bite, and they're just done, Richard.
I'm moseying up the line here, and I'm seeing quite a few fish on. So
that's wonderful.
Awesome.
All right, buddy.
Cool.
Well, we got a pop-out break. Richard, I'm glad
thanks
you got your lemonade.
In, buddy.
Yeah, no doubt. You go get those fish clean. Good luck, and thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for being back in studio.
Oh, man. It is good to be back in studio. It's good to have Joey back, too. But, again, thanks to Bob Buchanan for jumping in for those couple weeks. All right, coming up next, we're going to do a little regional roundup here. But here's the deal. We got the San Juans opened up, Marine Area 7. We got 8-1 opened up, which is – look, if you haven't fished Deception Pass at Skagit Bay, just stay tuned for the next segment. Old Joey's going to get you dialed in on the hole here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle. Get to your local tackle shop and check out the new Tai Tote.
BOMAC, we catch big fish, and then we make them cold.
Cool big fish. I mean, you know, these are absolutely waterproof. You can take the stink out of them. But
I love the handle on the zipper. You know, you can grab onto that thing. It's sometimes when you have a 26-pound Chinook in there in a bag of ice, it's hard to kind of squeeze that thing shut, you know. But that handle, you can grab it. It goes in between. It's like it's more of a
– It's a sealed zipper, dude. It's not going to leak all over somebody's rig, and that's absolutely key. All right, tomorrow, August 1st. I won't always spare everybody my lamenting over the loss of July because it was a wonderful month. It always is. But August has a whole new set of opportunities. Marine Area 7 opens up, and Marine Area 8-1. Probably nobody really talks a lot about 8-1. And you know, there's so many fish heading for the Skagit. Many fish heading for the Stille and the Snohomish that come in Deception Pass. But very few people are aware of what goes on there and the historical significance of Deception Pass, the hole, the Hope Island slot in Skagit Bay.
Marlin 2, you know. Growing up, that's where that was my stomping grounds. You know, as a little dude in the bow of my grandfather's boat, spent a lot of time right under Deception Pass, which is like such a cool spot.
It is so cool.
You know, it's just beautiful. You got this giant bridge and all these people up on the bridge looking down, watching you fish. And that's a ebb fishery. On a good ebb, what happens is the water flows out towards the straits, and it creates a big back eddy right there on what would be the north end of Whidbey Island.
Right.
And that water rips around, and it's like sitting in the Skagit River.
Yeah.
Big river. And the boats just stack up in there, and the fish stack up in there. The fish will stack up in there and wait for that ebb to slow before they flood through, headed for like, then they'll move across to Marlin 2, which is on the Fidalgo side, and that can be phenomenal. On the flood, those fish will move through, and they will pile up over there before they head for Hope Island. So there's a lot of opportunity right there. It's a small boat fishery, so if you know, you're totally protected. Even you can always find some place to fish out
absolutely
of Deception Pass,
absolutely,
right?
Yes.
And then obviously, you know, Area 7's opening up. As you move out, you got Biz Point, which another great spot to fish. The pinks will come in waves, and they will hit Biz Point and West Beach, and they will just stack up. And it can be lights out. So it's going to give guys a lot of opportunity. Look, we got 7 days of salmon fishing in Area 7 to
it's
this point.
So brutal. Yeah.
Get out there and take advantage and go catch yourself some pinks. The coho will be right behind them. We're hearing of some ocean coho already kind of pushing into the sound. So You know, it's the typical white flasher, pink hoochie.
Yep.
You know, pink coho killers are great. That's a really easy, you know, spoon to throw on. That pink and white coho killer is a humpy killing machine.
It is.
So, yeah, guys are going to have a lot of opportunity here coming up in August. And, you know, growing up there, I used to take a 12-foot boat with a 6-horse kicker and go out and fish the hole. And so, you know, you don't have to have a big, fancy 30-foot duck worth.
No.
You can go fish all over on the inside.
And
there.
So you launch at Coronet Bay.
Yeah.
And while you're waiting for that ebb, if you want to go fish the hole outside of Deception Pass, there's some opportunities right inside. And there's killer crabbing right off Hoipus Point,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, that point of Whidbey Island that kind of sticks, you know, into Skagit Bay a little bit. And then you'll see crab gear, I promise. But there's a bunch of great fishing right there. And then Hope Island, you know, was absolutely, you know, back in the day, one of the go-to spots for Chinook earlier in the year. But we're going to, you know, you're going to see coho porn in that neck of the woods too. And you're going to catch humpies in there as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all, you know, what do we have, a million pinks headed for the Skagit?
For the Skagit, yeah.
So they're all going to swim right through that narrow gap right there. You can catch them all over. And guys will catch them off the beach.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a beach
right
fishery,
there
too. Deception Pass State
Cornet
Park
Bay.
And, you
yeah,
know,
and Coronet Bay.
Yeah, and Coronet Bay and off of Hope Island as well. So
you can go down to Troxel's Landing, and Hope Island is right in front of you, and that's another great spot to fish off the bank for guys.
And so from the bank, you lobbing buzz bombs, spinner reels. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Pink buzz bombs.
Buzz bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
that's kind of the ticket. You know, pink spoons.
Right.
Something you can cast, pink and white. But buzz bombs just kind of the go-to. And they're gonna grab it. I mean, anything pink, those humpies can't resist.
No, they can't. And so, again, one of the most underrated opportunities, nobody ever talks about Marine Area 81. I'm sure there's guys throwing cups of coffee at the radio right now. But, you know, hey, it's a wonderful
area. There's plenty
area.
Of fish for everybody. There. Trust me.
There's absolutely plenty of fish for everybody up in that neck of the woods. All right, now let's talk a little bit about the San Juans. Because this time of year, sneaking out to the west side of San Juan Island, you're going to see the humpies coming. You're mm-hmm. going to see, and coho. You're going to be on the west side, whether it's you know, the Cattle Point side, on up to Pile Point, on up to Lime Kiln, all that kind of stuff. You'll see them coming. I mean, they'll be jumping. They're coming in waves. Really cool place to be on the planet, and a really great time to be on the west side of San Juan is early August.
Yeah, and the coho fishing out there last year was really good.
I
think it's going to be way better this year.
I think it's going to be better this year, and
I think we're going to see some big coho.
You and I didn't get to do it because I had a certain elk tag I had to go do homework, you know, on. But that fishery in late August and September was lit.
Yeah,
I mean, and the size of the coho, dude. I mean, there were some gagger coho coming in from the San Juan.
Well, what did we have in the Puget Sound all the way out to Nia Bay? We had all those little herring.
Yeah.
I mean, there was tons of food for them.
And so,
and we have the same thing going on right
we
now.
We have, and I think it's even more so because not just of the size of some of the Chinook that we've seen, but what's been in their gut. They're eating really, really well. That 26 pounder we got, which officially grew a pound during the first part of the show here, cut like a sockeye.
Yeah.
And every single one of the fish that we've gotten, and I'm hoping you guys are seeing this too, is the fact that these fish are amazingly well fed. Their belly walls are thick, 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 thick. I mean, and this is actually having an influence on the timing of our runs right now, because when the grits are so good, when the eating is so good in the straits and the ocean, a lot of those fish, they're just genetically programmed to pack on that last bit of food, because there's a selective advantage for fish that are more well fed. The females can put one more drop of oil in each one mm-hmm. of their eggs, and they're more successful spawning. And so it's an adaptive advantage to these animals to get all the grits they can in the ocean before they come into this river, because that, you know, there's nothing really for them to eat. I mean, do salmon feed in a river? There's nothing for them to eat.
Yeah.
Okay. And so.
Well, and they're kind of at that point in their life cycle, they're done feeding.
Yeah, they're shutting down.
Yeah.
They
have a job to do, and
right.
and that's spawn.
Yeah.
Okay. from the 206. Pinks in the Snohomish or the Skycomish. You know, there's probably some in there right now, but it's a little early. But we're going to get a little bit of weather here.
We are.
And it's not going to take much.
It doesn't.
Get a little shot of rain. A little bit of that river smell gets out, makes it out to area, not you know, out to possession. And we're going to see pinks in there. You know, in the next couple weeks, we're definitely going to start seeing decent numbers of pinks in the rivers.
I shared a post on the Outdoor Line social media this week from Cliff Mass, the amazing University of Washington atmospheric sciences professor, that noted some monsoon rains coming for eastern Washington. Those are going to wrap around this week, and we are going to get some wetness here in western Washington. Like Joey indicated, It doesn't take a deluge this time of year to affect migration into the rivers. A change in salinity in Puget Sound moves with the speed of electricity through water. It happens that fast. So a couple things are migration triggers, and one of them is photoperiod. And you're noticing right now that we're losing daylight at a rapid rate. And so the shortening days, but also, I mean, a fog can bring them up the river. But when we get an August rain, like we may indeed be seeing here, it's going to be very, very interesting. That and the fact that if we do get these monsoon rains in eastern Washington, those are going to find their way into the Columbia drainage, and it's going to profoundly affect what's going to go on down at Buoy 10. Buoy 10. Wait, let's save that for Eric Lindy. All right, yeah. We're going to pop out here for a quick break and come back. We've got Raymarine Picks of the Week right here in the Outdoor Line 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Head to raymarine.com. You're going to find the most innovative, effective line of marine electronics available to you today, such as the Axiom Pro and Axiom Pro Plus units. Go check them out. Faster, brighter, stronger, and available at raymarine.com. All right. It's August, dude. For all intents and purposes, we're taking today off. We're taking today off from fishing, so we come through radio. But when I say August to you, Joey, go ahead. You're going to talk about hunting.
Bear hunting.
All right.
It's bear hunting season.
Bear hunting. You already killed a bear this year. I still have your Alaska bear tag sitting on top of it. Do you need that, by the way? Do you need that bear tag still?
I don't.
Okay,
no,
I'm throwing it away. I'm throwing it away.
Right, I got some paperwork to fill out.
If somebody from Alaska Department of Fish and Game is listening, do we still need to hold on to Joey's punched bear tag?
I'll keep it. Yes.
All right, then I'll bring it. All right,
my first Alaska hunt, I'll keep the tag. Yeah. So I mean, it's bear season. It's a little bit early for the berries, but I had some pretty good reports of berries in that 2,500 foot range up on the mountain. But yeah, man, there's going to be a bunch of guys. I was going to jump out there, take Connor Martinez bear hunting from John's there. But, boy, I want to fish. Losing 14 days was rough. So I'm gonna spend my time on the water and probably get out. Maybe when you're transitioning from Everett to Buoy 10.
Everett to Astoria.
I'll try to get out bear hunting then. But look, it's August. Buoy 10, now we have an opener in Area 7, and look, we're going to get a full season in Area 10. Hopefully we go through this next week in 9, but once 9 shuts down, we're still going to have opportunity for pinks and coho there, and then we're going to still be able to bang on the kings down in Area 10. So
yeah, and here's what I'm excited about. I mean, while we were up in Sitka, we saw larger hatchery fish than I've seen.
Well, and we're seeing them here.
And now we're starting to see them here.
These fish are nice.
And that 25 that we got this week was a female.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get a 35 or 40-pound buck in 10. It's going to happen, dude. And it may happen in 9. Indeed, it may have happened already. But there's going to be some tyees caught in Marine Area 10.
If we're seeing
females in at 25 pounds – right now, somebody's gonna get a 40-pounder in Area 10. I mean, write it down. It's gonna happen, man.
Yeah. And look, 25, 20, 21, 19, those are all fish that you caught. I mean, you were catching nice big Chinook last week. Some of the days
nobody on the boat was complaining.
No, then the average has been 12 to 15. They're all just quality Chinook. And like you said, well-fed, the cleaning table on the back of the Duckworth. I'm back there filleting fish, and it looked like somebody took a bottle of Pro-Cure krill oil and just squirted it all over the back of the boat. It was awesome.
That, you got to post that picture that I took of you with that 25, the fillets
off.
Yeah,
I will.
You
got
to post that because, you know, typically a Chinook is not going to be stoplight red. You know,
yeah, it looked like a sockeye.
Dude. And that is because of the uptake of that carotenoid pigment that that is only available in krill and shrimp and everything like that. I mean, you know, they
and we eat a lot of Chinook.
Yeah,
and
we do.
I notice when I find those fish and I open up their bellies and they're plugged with shrimp. Those are Pacific pinks and coons in their bellies. That's what they're feeding on out there right now. Those fish, they have a taste. They taste better. For whatever that is. And look, that's what sockeye feed on, right? They're feeding on krill, and they're tasty as heck. So, yeah, man, super exciting to see these Chinook come back. And they have all these little herring to feed on. There's, again, just like last year, right, there's all these herring. There's a lot of candlefish out there, and then also these shrimp. So, like Tom said, massive amounts of groceries for these fish to mow on out there and just stay and chew on all that bait, put on a little extra weight. We haven't had rain. When's the last time it actually rained here?
It's from the 206, sprinkling. It's sprinkling on possession.
Yeah, but I'm talking, when's the last time it actually rained? So there's no reason for those fish to move right now. So I think we're going to have a killer August in Area 10.
We are. From the 425, good morning. You heard where the humpies have hit Bush Point yet? Yeah, they're there.
Up at mid-channel, we were seeing waves in the 30 to 50-foot range under the boat. It was just nonstop. And, and you know when you're seeing that many at 30 feet, they're everywhere.
Yeah. Also from the 206, are these Chinook, are these kings 4 or 5 year olds? We're seeing a pretty strong four salt class, right? Yeah. One fresh, four salt. And I tell you what, man. I'm so excited about next year.
Yeah,
I mean, we're seeing kind of a rebound with regard to Chinook average sizes this year, you know. And talking to Georgia Hughesby, our dear friend Lisa Killick, who we've worked with for years and years up in the Queen Charlottes, they caught a 52-pounder last week with 4 strips of line out on in a big cup big herring, and it just ripped them up. They got a 52, they got a 37 and a 42, you know, up at that lodge. Robbo told us about a 90-pound Chinook that was caught in a purse seine, you know, in Wrangell or Petersburg, you know, one of those two places. And those are numbers, and those are things that we have not been able to save for the past few years. But those are fish that we grew up seeing.
Yeah. My Uncle Ray released a over 30-pound wild fish yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, you know, with the increased output of hatchery fish we're going to see here in the next, actually coming from this season, the Tulalips are going to probably push out. We're going to have, 8 million hatchery Chinook?
Yeah, and we touched on this a little bit, but it's so important to realize the significance of the Pacific Salmon Commission's action here to start increasing hatchery Chinook plants. And again, it's for prey availability for the southern resident killer whales, which came through.
They came
through this week.
Which tells you they came through and they were like, wow, there's a bunch of Chinook around.
And they knocked the hole. They scrambled the
– They did.
They shuffled the deck.
They shuffled the deck.
They shuffled the deck big time because on Wednesday we were hammer time. Thursday we had to work a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that's when the killer whales came through. But when you look at what's been going on in Tulalip Bay, we're fishing this year on a plan of 2 million Chinook. That's going to increase to 4 million Chinook, as is the Wallace Rack, as are several other facilities. And I'm telling you what, man, it's going to be huge. We're standing on the precipice of a very significant increase in not only the Chinook in this area, but hopefully that translates into some increased opportunities as well.
So, yeah, which it will.
It will, absolutely. One opportunity that you do not want to miss starts tomorrow. It's Buoy 10. Eric Lindy joining us next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.